I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about how Jesus was crushed. We're going to be taking a look at this passage of scripture in Isaiah 53, where it says that Jesus was crushed for our iniquities, but then we're also going to be talking about what that did for us on the other side of the cross, and that now God can crush Satan under our feet. In Romans, it says that God will soon crush Satan under our feet. There's all these passages of scripture talking about how God's going to put everything under the feet of Jesus, and we get to be in him. So there's going to be a time for us to be receiving these promises from him today and just walking them out in our daily lives. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was reading the book of Proverbs one morning, and Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? And after thinking about it, after meditating on it for a while, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing that we could pass on will be lessons or wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live, for how to live this life that God has given us. So I made a goal, I made a commitment that I'm going to create lessons and systems and teaching and training that I can pass on to my children, hopefully children's children one day. And over the course of about 10 years now, I didn't know where to start. I had no clue where to start. I was running my personal training gym business and life was kind of all over the place. I needed some help in my own life at that time. And God was just so faithful. He began to show up and to teach me and to train me. And it turned into this whole program that we have now about 10 years later called the Abundant Life Blueprint. And in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing we do is daily communion. Daily communion with Jesus. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to pull his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance and imagination and make his sacrifice active and relevant and alive right now in this present moment today. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until we prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in this new covenant, that we can receive these promises from God and activate them and be walking in them in our lives. And it's this opportunity to pull his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice, something that we can release our faith into. And I believe it unites our entire spirit, soul and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep respect and honor and reverence and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through. And I think as we imagine, as we visualize, I think we got to visualize two sides. We got to be putting our faith and our trust in his sacrifice and visualizing all that he went through on one side. But on the other side of that, also putting our faith in who he made us to be on the other side, getting into faith about who he made us to be and all that he made available for us on the other side of that. And so the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And I've really been thinking about this. If communion has the power to do that in the negative, it has the power to do that much more in the positive, to make us healthy and strong and give us a long, abundant life. If we take it the right way, we take it in the fear of the Lord, out of deep respect and honor and appreciation for his sacrifice. And we take it in faith. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical health and fitness advice. Because I truly believe all the principles of health and fitness, nutrition, exercise, sleep and rest and energy, they're all meant to teach us about how to apply our faith. They're meant to teach us the principles of receiving this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can apply those same principles into every other area of our lives. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. You could be an enemy to our enemies. You could crush Satan under our feet. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelations that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us, so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and be a blessing and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. And I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God. But our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today. It's got to impact the things that we do, the decisions that we make, our words and actions and thoughts and everything we do. It's got to impact every area of our lives. That's what we talk about, executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into the fundamentals today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light, because when we're in position, it helps us to receive. Imagine you're playing football and the receiver is running out and he's in the wrong position. He's not in position to catch the ball. He's not in position to receive it. Positioning helps us to be able to receive everything that God has for us. And it's like the on-off switch. Either we're in position or we're not. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in between. And so our first step, let's take our position in humility today. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people, because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle, stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting excess pressure on ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same love and grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best about other people. Think about that. Always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs. That's what God does for us. Delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And I think of gratitude as one of my indicators that I'm in the faith. I'm examining myself to see if I'm in the faith. Gratitude is going to be one of the symptoms. It's one of the easiest ways to just maintain our positioning all day long. And when we take our position, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has. And he gave it all to Jesus because he was worthy and deserving of it. And we have this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. So this day today, everything God has, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his kingdom and purpose, his health and energy, time and finances, this unlimited, inexhaustible supply this pipeline of living water. It's available today. We have to learn how to receive it from him, and we got to get it flowing through us. So our first step, let's get in position. And then we're going to start to magnify the light. This is where we turn up the brightness of it. So positioning is like the on-off switch. Magnification, I think of it like a dimmer switch. We're going to turn up the brightness of this. And we're going to expand the capacity to make this, expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And to magnify the light, it's all about where is our focus and attention throughout the day. What are we meditating on? When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those thoughts that we're just repeating over and over? What are the things that we're speaking over and over? What are the repeated actions and decisions that we're making over and over? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be meditating on his word throughout the day, thinking about it, talking about it, rolling it over on the inside. Magnifying God's unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got right standing with God. We've got peace with him. His blessing and favor is on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We have this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all of the things that are going well. And just keep it in mind, what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to sustain it. He's going to see it through to completion. And as we magnify this light, it gives us hearts that understand. And as we understand, this new covenant gets established in our hearts so that we become more fixed and steadfast and consistent when life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to get us to focus on the wrong things. Gets our hearts established in this new covenant. Helps us to receive all that he has, and we're going to get this flowing through us. Now, this is not about denying that there's issues and problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light, and we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. But it does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, just insisting on doing everything our own way, trying to figure it all out ourselves rather than resting and trusting in God. We can be in bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, complaining about the issues and the problems constantly. Rather than resting and trusting in God, we could be toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out endlessly. But there's a better way. And that's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people. Maybe we snap at them or we withhold good things that we know to do. We avoid them. We give them the silent treatment, all because they did something we didn't like. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. In the darkness, there's going to be this heaviness and pressure, like all the weight sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom. You find yourself saying, why am I so tired all the time? Why am I so tired all of a sudden? Big symptom. It's like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear, there's stress, there's worry. Toiling away in our mind, dread of the future, where we're envisioning all these worst case scenarios in our mind, confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go as we're trying to figure it all out. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And when he goes to work, everything is free and easy and effortless. You feel your faith and your courage and your energy begin to rise up. And his peace and joy and love and mind and wisdom, his spirit and power, it all just begins to flow through you. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. He just begins to effortlessly set us free. Break us free out of bad habits, bad patterns, situations that looked impossible. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around, to get back into the light again. And this is a skill set that we can develop of learning to recognize when we're off track, recognize those symptoms, and then turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? We start with humility. We recognize the symptoms and we humble ourselves. Father, forgive me. I'm off track right now. I've missed it. Because life's throwing stuff at us every day to try to get us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. I've missed it. I'm off track right now. Father, forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. Stop beating ourselves up about it. We reconcile with other people if we need to. We say we're sorry. We do whatever we got to do to get the peace and the relationships with other people. And then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love, and that what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you for what you put within me, and that it's more than enough. Help me tap into this and cultivate this at a greater level, so that when these issues and whatever it was that got me out of position come my way, I handle it with beauty and poise and grace. And immediately you'll feel that shift on the inside. The weight will lift off you. The pressure will come off. You feel that grace and the peace and the joy and the love just begin to wash over you on the inside. Your energy levels will rise up. This lightness will come on the inside. And we're going to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us, navigate us throughout the day. We've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about something new to put at the very top of your journal. We've been talking about installing some what we call grace filters, some decisions or commitments that we're going to make to walk by God's grace. Where, hey, you know what? I'm going to do continually good for other people, just like God's doing for me. I'm going to make that decision and that commitment. I'm going to write that at the top. Or it might be for a different area of life. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to value relationships over money. And I'm going to be a good steward of everything that God's entrusted to me. We talked about at the beginning of the month, picking one of these filters. It could be cherishing our family. I'm going to bring out the best in my family today. I'm going to cherish them. And we make that decision and that commitment. And we keep writing it at the top of our journal as our standard to keep aiming for every day. And then underneath that, we can get our positioning through gratitude and praise. We can start magnifying all the ways that God showed up today, because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. Then we have a time to examine ourselves, any areas where I need to make some adjustments. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a couple minutes, and whatever comes into my mind, just get it onto the paper. It's very important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper, because it helps us to remember and not forget all that he's up to in our lives. And then we're going to stay tuned in throughout the day, because he's trying to navigate us throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just slow down for a couple minutes. It doesn't take long, just a minute or two. Get connected to him again. Get powered up in him. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God before bed. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I was toiling away, trying to figure it all out, playing out all these uncertain things in my mind, trying to force things to happen. Really, I was just getting out ahead of God. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I get behind him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? What do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. Then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. Get connected to him first thing in the morning, start praising him and thanking him, get connected with him in his word. Then we start walking out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him. Just simple childlike faith. He's right there with us every step of the way, and nothing's impossible for him. We get to that place of that confident faith. All that doubt and unbelief is removed. This grace begins to surge through us. We receive this grace by faith. And when his grace begins to flow, he begins to go to work and he begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at these scriptures today. Talking about crushed. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, it says, talking about Jesus, surely he took on our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God. Some versions, that's where we talk about he was smitten by God. He was struck down and he was afflicted. So he was struck down. So we've got several things in this verse. He was smitten by God so that God could smite our enemies. He was struck down by God so that God could strike down our enemies. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced in his side. We've talked about this one. We did a communion meditation on this one. He was pierced in his side so that Jesus could be by our side as we walk out our lives. He was crushed for our iniquities. So for our iniquities and sins, he was crushed. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So let's look at this one. He was crushed for our iniquities. Romans 16:20 says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." 1 Corinthians 15:25 says, "For he must reign," Jesus must reign, "until he has put all of his enemies under his feet." Now, whose feet are they going under? It says God's going to crush Satan under your feet. Jesus is going to reign until all of his enemies are under his feet. Well, we're in him. We're one with him. It's one and the same. Jesus was crushed so that God could crush Satan under our feet. He was crushed so that God could crush Satan under our feet, put all of our enemies under our feet. We've been talking about Jesus was smitten so that God could fight for us. He could be an enemy to our enemies, and he's going to crush Satan under our feet. All of this had to happen to Jesus first. So when we talk about when we take communion, it's important to look at two sides of the cross. One side, we're remembering Jesus, that he was crushed. He was smitten. He was struck down by God. He went through some horrendous things. Remembering the pain and suffering of all that he went through for us. But on the other side, remembering what that did for us, who he made us to be, and what that made available with God with this new covenant. You got to remember both. You have to have both sides of this, I believe. So Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to have you in our lives. We thank you. Some version said it pleased you to crush him. I don't have that verse on here right now, but I know there's a verse that says, it pleased you to crush him. And why did that please you? Because you looked on the other side. And you saw that you could, it's going to give you the ability to crush Satan under our feet, under his feet. And that we're one with him. We just thank you for this bread. Thank you for the night Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." I want you to take your bread today. Just something I feel like God's saying for us to do. I want you to crush it a little bit. Crush it in here as a reminder of that today. Father, we thank you that because of his sacrifice, he makes us right and holy and perfect in your sight. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. It's all crushed up. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. Now, I want you to notice one thing on here. Who's going to crush Satan under your feet? It's not us. God is. God, the God of peace. Now, it's interesting. The Bible talks about those that bring the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace. There's a connection with peace and the feet. God's going to do this. We're going to look to him, and he's going to be the one that does this. So, Father, we thank you for the cup, this cup, and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, let's talk about some health and fitness stuff here. I want to talk about what's called nutrient partitioning. So a lot of people think about, oh, it's just eat less, move more. That's the key to losing weight, getting healthier, fitter, those types of things. Eat less, move more. But that's not necessarily the case. Because there's something called nutrient partitioning, which is basically when food comes in, when calories come in, where do they go? How do they get put to work in the body? So think of it this way. You got income coming into a business or your personal income or whatever it may be. And that money can just sit there piling up, or it can be put to work. You think about the parable of the talents. It says the guy who had the most ability and was given the most talents says immediately, as soon as those talents were given to him, immediately, that word is there, immediately he put them to work. Immediately he put them to work. And I was just thinking about this. My wife has always been very lean. She's always been very lean and in good shape. And she's always done something I've noticed. Whenever she would eat, and maybe was eating, maybe it had something that wasn't the best meal or something like that, she would make it a priority to exercise pretty soon after that. She would make it a priority to exercise. So immediately she's taking that food and she's putting it to work. So a couple key lessons in this. Higher activity levels. Higher activity levels helps us be more sensitive to partition the nutrients and put them to work. The other part of this is that if you ever feel like you're just overly full or sluggish, start putting that excess to work. Just start walking, start moving, start doing something. Start putting those calories to work, and it's going to help you to partition those calories better so that we put them to work and they don't get stored up. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.